Hour number two of Overtime, presented by Julia Hurley with Realty Executives, Jake Miller, Davis Rangi, producer Matthew. Guys, give Julia a call today for all your real estate needs, and you will not have somebody with the consistency of the College Football Playoff Committee or the Heisman Trophy voters. 865-237-7328. Tell her the crew from Overtime sent you. John Dunn of the All Vol Collins Show making his weekly appearance here in about 19 minutes. Mm-mm-mm. He's got a lot to say about the whole Hendon Hooker situation.
Yeah, I saw him tweeting about it last night. Just like I saw everyone, not even just Tennessee-based media, national media.
Should be a good phone call. Yeah, RG3
tweeted. I don't know. RG3's kind of two-faced. He was loving Hooker all year, and then he decides he. Like, his last couple weeks of Heisman, he didn't have Hooker on there. So, can't play both sides of the fence, man. Pick one. Thanks.
Guys, I am really tired, and I don't know why. I have yawned more during this show than I think I have my entire time here at Fan Run.
Yeah, I'm pretty tired. It's been a crappy day.
This weather doesn't help. It's cold. Yeah,
it's been a pretty crappy day, I think, for everyone in this room.
It's raining.
It's just
my back hurts.
Dark and gloomy.
Dr. Laura Linderman, help me out.
Yeah. Good old cortisone shot.
Yep. Ugh. The pain's a 10. Go see you sooner than later.
Don't wait 20 years either.
Nope. Don't do that. Lady Vols are up 28-10 halfway through the second quarter. Hopefully.
Maybe they can get back to 500.
It's not been a good year.
No, it has not. Yeah.
It's only going to get tougher.
Yeah, it's not good if you're just at 500, 10 games in the year, and you haven't even started conference play yet. I mean, there's some teams that didn't even lose five games in the entire year, and yet here you are.
Pretty sure she went like 38-1 one year.
Yeah.
Well, she three-peated 96, 97, 98, and then you had 2006 and 2008, I believe.
2007.
At the Candace Parker, same thing.
That was funny about that one is because Kara Lawson was on TV saying that Tennessee wasn't going to win, a Tennessee alum when she was an analyst. And Candace Parker threw shade at her after the game. She's like, well, some people only have one. Guess what? I've got two.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, it's a – I don't know. It's pretty interesting. I had a notification on my phone come across about Virginia. I thought they said more people got killed on the football team.
Oh, God.
They're just honoring the three players that got killed.
Whew. That would have been bad.
That would have been very morbid. That
would have been terrible. Oh, man. That first hour was wild, man. I don't even remember what we talked about.
But just random stuff like
yeah.
Just about bowl prestige and –
history.
Yeah, Phil called in.
I think Bob gave us the question about the bowl games.
Let's see. We talked about Eastern Kentucky's very good 6-6 stretch four.
Yeah, he's going to enter the portal.
Maybe.
Talked about FTX for 6 minutes.
Oh, yeah, we talked about those people.
Yep.
So, realistically, how far do you think Tennessee makes it in the NCAA tournament this year?
Sweet 16 max.
Around a 32.
Got it. We had a team that went 31-6, Admiral and Grants last year.
Yep.
And only made the Sweet 16.
And you could argue the year before that the path was a lot easier, and you got just the way it happens sometimes, man, with Loyola Chicago. I mean, they were just a team of destiny.
Sister Jean.
It's very frustrating. I did not speak for hours after that game.
I was at drill watching that unfold. I was at Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
I was at the game. And
well, at least you got real food that day. I had an MRE, and then they told us, like, we're going to surprise you guys. We're going to get you guys pizza. We're going to have a pizza party tonight if you all behave. It's like, if we behave, because like the difference in companies and in the Army, it's like you have HHC, your headquarters, which has all the jobs that make the unit function or whatever. for whatever reason, I was in a civil affairs battalion and not in what they call a line company, which is guys that actually go out and get to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
They put me in headquarters. It was just stupid. Number one, I shouldn't have been there. And number two, they're like, we're going to give you guys a treat. We're going to make sure you guys are taken care of. They bring us damn Little Caesars.
I mean, it's better than, what did you say, MRE?
Spaghetti MREs.
Little Caesars, I mean, it's not the best. It's not the worst. It's right there in the mid-level tier.
You know, I don't know, though.
But it wasn't the extra most bestest or the thin crust or the deep dish that's really good. No, it was the $5 hot and ready.
I don't know, though. The American Airlines Arena nachos were pretty close to MRE, if you ask me.
That kid scares me. Young Sheldon.
Oh, yeah, that TV show.
Oh.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, that was pretty bad. We had to catch a flight back home. It was – because you know how the games, they get delayed in the actual tournament. They don't actually start when they're supposed to.
Yeah.
So we're running pretty late. And when Grant made the and one to go up by one, I believe, with about, 15 seconds to go.
Yeah.
And I walked out. I said, yeah, it's in the bag. Walked out, went to the concourse, standing at the door ready to leave. And I see that guy make the shot. And I just slam my fountain cup into the trash. Like, this is ridiculous. Walk out. Didn't say a word the entire Uber ride to the airport. Didn't talk the entire flight home either. Just pissed. Like, it's our chance, man.
And then we couldn't take phone calls at this station for about a month after that game.
I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either.
No, like, it was the whole Cody McClure, Sister Jean.
Oh, yeah. Ah, okay, I felt his pain then.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's some things just not going to say it.
Yeah. Couldn't take calls forever because of that.
That was a depressing one. That's a top five most hurtful losses I've ever had as a Tennessee fan. That and Purdue, Florida, Oklahoma.
Purdue was bad. Michigan State in the Elite Eight, that one about did me in. That one hurt. That one really hurt.
I wasn't old enough to really remember or feel that pain.
It was the first time we'd ever been. You know, just shut down Evan Turner. Everything was going great that game. And then you roll into the next game against Michigan State, and I think we hit every single shot.
And you still lost.
Like, it felt like to start the game, I feel like we were like 8 of 8 from three is what it felt like. I don't know if that's the exact stat, but, I mean, it felt like we were hitting everything we threw up. I'm like, we can't be stopped. We're going to the Final Four. Obviously not.
It's a curse. I feel like we're cursed in every way.
That we are. Let's get Chris in here, and then we'll do some picks. Chris, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, the Hendon Hooker, that's just a bunch of crap. I mean, let's just get real with it.
Oh, I mean, nobody's disagreeing with you. I mean, we all agree with you 100%, and it's because they changed the narrative, man. They have not said a baseline criteria. They've not set a baseline agenda, a baseline narrative. It's just whatever they feel like they need to push, that's what they're going to push.
And of course, people are making up, you know, gifs and photos, you know, the Heisman on the ground, dogs, you know, crapping up, pooping on it. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Way to catch yourself, Chris. I'm proud of you, man. Good job.
Do what?
Way to catch yourself.
I didn't make them.
I know you didn't make them. I'm just saying good job catching yourself. You almost said something you shouldn't have said.
It's better than what Cody McClure tweeted about Sister Jean.
Well, I mean, it's the way she goes, man. The way she goes. The thing is, like, Brady Quinn on Fox Sports National, like, said a lot worse stuff than what Cody said. And nobody ever got a hold of it because it wasn't in the heat of the moment.
Yeah. But, yeah, this Trent. I don't want to talk about old basketball games, too many bad memories, but you know, this transfer portal is kind of getting, it's always crazy, but right now it's just obviously, right when it opened up yesterday, it just gets insane.
And I think that we've not seen the last of it. I think you're going to see more guys in
there.
It's going to be, there was well over 900 guys in the portal yesterday. I think we had the total number like, 962?
It's 944 at 5 p.m., so I'm sure that number's...
I know it got over 1,000.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is up to now, but You know, we haven't lost anybody that we were counting on next year that's not a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, that's the good thing about Josh Heupel and company is what they've been able to build here over the course of 2 years has got guys believing. And, you know, I think that if some guys had the chance to do over like Tyon Evans, Eric Gray, Wanya Moore, some of those guys, I think they would have stayed. You know, and people can say, oh, well, they had to leave because, you know, they were paid under the table and they had to leave. And it's like, well, do we know that? Or do they just want to avoid a bad situation?
Keyshawn Lawrence
is another one.
Yeah, some say they had to leave and some say they didn't. I mean, no one's ever come out, you know, definitively 100% said, you know, they had to leave or vice versa. So who really knows?
I don't think we ever will. I really don't think we ever will because when you read the report, they're not mentioned in that report. The 51-page report from the NCAA, none of those guys are mentioned. There's a couple of guys that are on the current squad that were mentioned, but, I mean, the fact of the matter is they just paid back whatever it was that they received, and that's bottom line.
At least it came out that Pruitt used Chick-fil-A bags, you know, not McDonald's. You know.
Hey, I mean,
step up.
We can do Chick-fil-A. We can do Chick-fil-A, which I'm not going to turn my nose up at a good McDouble either. Now, the best McDouble, Chris, is when it's fresh. If you can get a fresh McDouble, it's one of the best things in the world.
They're pretty good. Speaking of McDonald's, but did you ever see the movie The Founder?
Yes.
How it got started with Michael Keaton?
Yes.
Yeah, very good movie.
Very good movie.
But yeah, Tennessee's in on some pretty big names in the portal, but, you know, it's honestly more entertaining right now than recruiting is kind of almost done. There's most people already committed, but
I mean, you got Nico. He's going to be on campus here in a few weeks.
Yeah. You know, recruiting, you follow up a prospect for over a year, and you kind of know where they're going when it comes down with all the crystal balls and future cast and all that. But the portal, man, it's just, all right, I'm in the portal. Okay, I'm on your campus. You know, it's kind of hard to keep up with.
Yeah, it's really hard to keep up with. And the thing is, it's like you don't have some of the stuff going around today that you had, like, say, back in the 90s. I know of a story where a certain coach at an SEC school was recruiting a kid that was already committed to another school. And, of course, there weren't cell phones, and some people didn't even have caller ID. So he went to a payphone about an hour outside of where he was, called the guy up, pretending to be a coach at the other school, and said, hey, listen, we just don't have room for you. We've signed another guy, and we're not going to honor your commitment. So then that's how they got him to flip and sign with his particular SEC school.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah, back when you could do that.
Yeah. Next week or two is going to be crazy. But, yeah, I still think Steve from Lexington, who calls Brent Hubbs every Thursday, uses payphone at the Walmart. So, all right, see you.
Appreciate it, Chris. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio Overtime continues. It is time to make our picks. A little round robin action, courtesy of our friends at FanDuel. So, y'all won 4-1 last night.
Yeah.
Been on a winning streak.
Booker got owned by Luka once again, so that hurts you. And then Steph Curry shot 4-for-17, or 2-for-17, so.
Gah!
He had 14 points last night and got outplayed.
12,
sorry.
And these games are starting here in just a few minutes, so we need to...
Yeah, hurry it up, man. All right.
We need to hurry it up. All right, Lakers, Cavs, anything y'all want to do there?
AD, 25-plus.
Okay.
Yeah, if AD's playing.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
All right, so we only have four games to choose from. I'm going to stick with this game as well. Give me Donovan Mitchell. 25-plus.
What's Jared Allen's rebounds?
Let's see here. Let me find it.
I'll go all... just give me Jared Allen 8-plus rebounds.
Solid pick. Alrighty. Let's move on down here to the Heat and the Pistons. Find Tyler Hero where he at. His point total tonight is 21.5. I'm going to go over.
What's Lonnie Walker's point total tonight?
Where's it at? Where did it go?
That's your big three for that team right there.
Mm-hmm. Lonnie Walker, point total just changed. Literally as we were sitting here, it was 11.5. Now it's 12.5.
Over.
Matthew, you already make a pick?
Yes, back to you.
It's your turn.
Oh, yeah. Crap. My bad.
You good?
All right, let's go down here to the Mavs and the Nugs. Luka, 30+.
Okay, I think I will go. What's Jokic on assist tonight?
Jokic on assists. Eight and a half. Yo, 9, 9, and 9 again.
Yeah, I'm gonna say he goes over 8.5.
And I'm gonna take Jamal Murray over 4.5 assists.
What's Bogdanovich's point total tonight?
Let's find it. Wish I had all this in front of me. You know, I'd be a lot better off if I would just print this stuff out beforehand. Where's it at? Is it even on here? I don't know if it is. There it is. 18.5.
Oh, I might take more time. Real quick, if you have Killian Hayes' point total in front of you.
10.5.
You know, it can be over on Killian Hayes.
What, do I have one more?
Yeah, you have one more.
Yes, you do.
All righty. I'm going to go Bam Adebayo under 21.5.
It's a safe pick. It's also almost as safe as going P.J. Tucker under on points.
Yeah.
What does he even do?
In the last 10 games.
His last 10 games.
He's had like, what, 9 points?
No. His last 10 games, he has had 0-0-0, 3-0-0-0, 6-3-0.
He has 12 points.
He's got 12. I was close.
12 points in his last 10 games.
Yep.
My goodness.
He just runs around for 30 minutes.
So I want to.
Straight cardio.
I want to look at this at the end of the year and just see, like, how much money we have made by taking these picks.
We've got a lot of picks in here, man.
We got a lot.
A ton.
I mean, I think the last, like, 5 or 6 times, me and Davis have gone 4-1.
I mean, I've even got picks back. I don't even know if we just made these as a group or what, but all the way back in October. So you got 2 months worth of picks.
It's going to be interesting to look at the end of the year. And, guys, now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because right now new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with promo code OVERTIME. You know we do the player props. That's one of our favorite things to do here. Same-game parlays, another chance to increase your winnings. Another thing, too, live betting. Love live betting. Won a lot of money this year in college football doing live bettings, and you get paid your winning fast on an app that is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Sign up with promo code OVERTIME for your no-sweat first bet. That is promo code OVERTIME. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 and older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. Quick timeout. John Dunn of the All Vol Call-In Show joins us next right here on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio Overtime continues. Pleased to be joined by John Dunn of the All Vol Call-In Show. John, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, man, I'm doing all right. Sitting here watching some stand-up comedy. Oh, wait, no, this is the Heisman Trophy voting. My apologies.
Hey,
how
man.
Are you?
I mean, that is the running joke. We're doing pretty well. We got our anger out last night. You know, just sitting here watching some Texas and Illinois basketball right now. It's actually pretty entertaining to watch.
Yeah, basketball season is upon us. You know, here in Big Orange Country, we're blessed with a good team, good coach. Looks like a bright season for these guys. Julian Phillips, man, really just a star in the making. That guy is just somebody that this team can rely on. Jonas Adu, man, that guy is probably my favorite player on this team. And just an absolutely great, great team. I'm excited to see what they do this upcoming week.
Absolutely. And, John, of course, the Heisman Trophy finalists were announced last night. And it really did seem like this award is basically just a sham at this point. You take a guy that's not even on SEC first team or SEC second team for that matter, and you leave out a guy who is all SEC first team, not a Biletnikoff, but a Davey O'Brien finalist, a Maxwell finalist, probably going to add a bunch more hardware to his collection at the end of this year, and that guy doesn't even get an invite. Just want to know, what was your initial thought and your initial reaction to that? I mean, we saw it on Twitter, but now that we've had time to cool down, let's vocalize it a little bit.
So I would love to give you my initial thought and my initial reaction, but I can't use those words.
Right.
Just know that it has something to do with the digestive tract of a male cow.
Yes.
So we, you know, we all know that this is a little bit of a farce. What I look at more than anything else, and I'm not trying to take anything away from any of the other quarterbacks at all, but what I look at the most is that Hendon Hooker, this is a character award. A lot of people forget about that. This is a character award as well as a statistical award. You have guys writing profanity on their fingers before big games in which they lose.
Mm-hmm.
Have other guys known for their off-field antics of being, just for lack of a better word, a jerk. You've got other guys that just don't really do anything off the field. It's just football. Then you've got guys like Hendon Hooker writing, you know, children's books and things like that. And people forget about that aspect of it. But not just that, not just his off-the-field stuff. He has the numbers. You have to think, too, a lot of these guys played a conference championship game. In fact, all three of them did, if I'm not mistaken, of the others. Or four, yeah, excuse me, all four of the others, excuse me. And Hendon Hooker still had better numbers than most of them with about 2.3 less games played, still had better numbers. The fact, and nobody's really expecting him to win the award following the injury, but the fact that he didn't even get an invitation, and you replace him with, and I'm not trying to take away from Stetson Bennett, but replacing him with Stetson Bennett was not the move. I love Stetson Bennett's story, from walk-on to national championship quarterback. That's incredible. But the dude is not a Heisman-caliber quarterback. What he's done is incredible. I will say this, though. Of the four people that are in there, if I had to vote right now, he'd get it. Simply because if what they're going off of is based off of, it seems to be a popularity contest, but if they're basing it off of who does the best, it has to be Stetson Bennett. He's undefeated. He's on his way to a second national championship in a row where Georgia hadn't won one in 40 years. So if anybody, I guess, of that group should get it, it should be him. The other ones are extremely overrated. Caleb Williams, media darling. USC, we get it. You know, C.J. Stroud, another one. Ohio State, go figure, right?
Right.
If Notre Dame would have been worth anything this year, there would have been a Notre Dame quarterback thrown in there. Max Duggan is the outlier. A great year for that kid. Wonderful year. The thing is, you're playing in the Big 12. Compared to these other guys, even though Williams is a USC media darling and Stroud is a OSU media darling, they're still better than Duggan. And Stetson, in my opinion, Bennett, is better than both of them. But Hooker is better than all of them. All of them. And the fact that he didn't even get an invite to New York is an absolute joke. The Heisman Trophy, I personally will no longer care about the Heisman Trophy. I haven't for a while, but this is the first year in a long time where I thought, hey, you know, he's the Heisman front runner. This is incredible. Not just because he's, you know, our quarterback, but because it actually seemed like guys that were, you know, playing good. Jalen Hyatt showed up in the Heisman odds at one point because he was playing so well. It looked like that's what they were doing. And then, you know, we end up with this. It's just not the move, man. And I don't think it's just in this cluster of Knoxville that agrees with that either. I believe it's a lot of people across the country. Anybody that's not Georgia, Ohio State, TCU, or USC agrees with that statement. I've seen South Carolina media pundits. I have seen Florida, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Texas, Oregon, Washington, you name it, just saying Hendon Hooker should have been in New York. Nobody expects him to necessarily win the award, although I think he could. But invite him. He's earned it. And then some.
Absolutely. And it just, I'm kind of with you. It's like, I'm no longer going to recognize the award. I mean, if you watch the SEC story docuseries that they have on the SEC network, you learn that the guy that the trophy is named after, he's a fraud. I mean, let's call it like it is. He's a fake and a fraud. You know, and he's the reason why Alabama and Auburn didn't play each other for, I think they didn't play for upwards of 30 years. And it was at the hands of him. So that's why the Iron Bowl didn't get played for 30-plus years, was because of that guy. So, I mean, you look at that, and then you look at the fact that there is really no criteria, no set guidelines as to what qualifies you for this award. And I'm kind of with you. It's like, why do we even recognize it at this point? You know, it used to be about who's the best player in college football. And now it's turned into, oh, well, who's the most popular right now? And you had some guy, we're not going to say his name, but, you know, try to compare it to a golf tournament. It's like, you know, you make the cut, but then your score gets cut off. So that's the only thing that makes it different than a golf tournament. I'm like, well, then it's not a golf tournament. You keep your score throughout the entire round. It's about the entire body of work. And the way that it seems, it's like, you know, it only matters what you do in November at this point.
You're absolutely right, man. And you hit the nail on the head. You took my next point right out of my mouth. They need to set guidelines prior to even contemplating who's going to be named for this award. That, I get it. People are human. These Heisman voters are human. The CFP committee, they're human. We're all human, right?
Right.
You can alleviate yourself of some of that human error by setting guidelines. You can alleviate some of yourself of that pressure. I guarantee there are people on the Heisman committee right now, the Heisman voting committee, that are just like, man, all I've heard, blah, 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 nagging this, nagging that. Well, set guidelines in place. You can take some of that off you. You can say, well, look, this is what we look for, and this is what they didn't meet. Because right now it's just, well, we think so-and-so did better, you know, or we think so-and-so did this or that. The numbers, they're pretty close, I'll admit. The top, you know, with Hendon Hooker, if you put them in the top five there, they're pretty close in numbers. Even with those guys playing conference championship games and an extra game, you just got to set things in place. Again, human error is going to happen across sports. It always has. It always will until, you know, we add all the sensors and lasers and all this stuff that eventually we'll have. But in the meantime, you know, set it. We're looking for X amount of passing yards, X amount of touchdowns, limited amount of interceptions, and, you know, who drives the BMW 6 Series. Whatever it may be, set the guidelines beforehand. It's super simple, man. And, again, this goes back to, you know, we just talked about this last week. If two guys like you and I can sit around and figure out these solutions, why is it so hard for them to figure out these solutions? It'll never make sense to me at all.
No, and then you have people that want to go, like, take the college football playoff, for example. You know, the BCS was a computerized system that just spat out the two best teams in the country. And it's like, well, why don't we go back to that? Okay, well, you complained about it back then. Now you want it again. Don't you think that'll make it much worse? And I think somebody did, you know, what the BCS would take into account. And I think the numbers were very similar, you know, to what it would be, you know, just having the humans doing it. So it's like, you know, where did we find the happy medium? It's like there's politicking that goes on with humans, and then there's things that aren't taken into consideration with a computer. So where is the happy medium?
I think that in a couple of years, college football is going to change, and it's going to be one of the best changes we've had in a very long time. And that's when they expand the playoff. It's going to make for some interesting matchups. It's going to make for, you know, more people getting in, a lot less controversy. All you got to do is make the top 12. You know, conference champions, this, that, whatever the criteria is, we know it beforehand, first of all. So that's big. Second of all, there's more teams included, more teams with a shot. You know, Tulane, I believe, would have made the college football playoff this year. Imagine Tulane with a shot to win the national championship.
Hey, I love chaos. You know how that is.
Absolutely, man. And that's what it's going to bring. It's going to be like a quieting chaos. So it's going to bring more entropy to the sport itself, the postseason. But it's going to kind of calm everybody down in terms of, well, we dropped a game to South Carolina late in the season. We're still making the playoff. You know, it's like, whoop-de-doo. We'll be fine. You know, that's what we would have said this year. We'd have been like, ah, man, that's, you know, let's just, for argument's sake, say that Hendon Hooker didn't get injured against South Carolina. Well, we've got a 12-team playoff. Tennessee drops that game. Even in the fashion they do, they're still making the playoff. And we're just like, well, you know, it's all right. I'd rather slip up now than later. I guarantee we would have heard that argument. I'm excited for the expansion of the playoff. I'm excited for the expansion of the SEC. I'm excited for a lot of changes coming to college football.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the changes coming to the SEC, of course. You know, we're basically doing away with divisions, and you're going to have three permanent opponents and everybody else is going to rotate. I think that's going to make the SEC more exciting because, you know, I want to play teams like Mississippi State, teams like LSU. I want to play them more than just once every 6 or 7 years, however we've been doing it. And get to see those guys every other year. I mean, that's going to make a world of difference in how we look at the season going forward, just because you are getting those games that you don't normally get. And then you get to not play certain guys as much. I mean, let's call it like it is. They're not going to have Tennessee paired up with Georgia. We're not going to be paired up with Florida. We're most likely going to be paired up with Alabama, Vanderbilt, and Kentucky because of the rivalries that those three games have. Now, of course, recency bias tells us Tennessee and Florida is the bigger rivalry, but you can't stop the border war between Tennessee and Kentucky, and they're probably going to keep us with in-state rival Vanderbilt. Of course, third Saturday in October, it is what it is.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, man. I love the rotating schedule, the permanent three-point. I like the whole setup myself. Games like next year, for instance, Tennessee plays Texas A&M. I love that matchup. I love seeing Tennessee play Texas A&M. I actually have it on my bucket list to attend, you know, an away game at each SEC stadium before I pass. So, I mean, this is something that's going to probably make me do that. You know, we'll be playing your other teams, you know, out west a little bit more often, your Arkansas, your A&Ms, and teams like that. So I'm excited about the changes, man. I know a lot of people are really leery about kind of giving into the NIL era and everything like that, but there's a lot of changes coming to college football. And, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks back. I think it's just another evolution in college football. They said a lot of similar things when they went away from leather helmets. You know, there's just change happens. And, you know, it's all about the adjustment. I think Tennessee's on the trajectory right now ahead of all these changes, getting out in front of this, all the revolution and evolution and everything like that, and getting on an upward trajectory before everything does change, I think is very beneficial for Tennessee. Because if we were still in the depths of the well, so to speak, as all these changes took place, that sets you behind the eight ball even further. You know, right now with the NIL coming in, Tennessee's got tons of money. You've got a good win. You got a 10-2 season. You know, you're winning football games. It looks like a good place to be. You know, if you were a 5-7 year in, year out, it would not be such a nice place to be. So with it all changing and everything, expanding, growing, it's good for Tennessee to be out in front of this thing, for sure.
Absolutely. And jumping to basketball really quick, Tennessee taking on Eastern Kentucky tomorrow. Then, of course, Maryland this weekend is going to be a big matchup. Eastern Kentucky, John, has a 6'6" stretch forward, averaging about 17.8 points per game. And want to get your thought, does he get that tomorrow, given how good Tennessee's defense is?
No, I don't think he does. He might reach his point total, maybe. Very, very well, maybe. And that's if he's the guy, just the guy. I will say this, EKU, I've spent a lot of time around the campus up there and around the team and everything. Great guys, a lot of respect for EKU, but Tennessee's just on another level right now. We're talking about a team that could, you know, make a push in the March, and I know we say that year in, year out. You know, this is another one of those teams that looks like they could make a push into March and deeply too. You know, I'm looking at this team play defense, and that looks like a Final Four defense. Offensively, however, they've had a couple of games where they looked good. If they play like they did against Kansas, I think they can play with anybody in the country. But if they play against, you know, teams like they did against Colorado, it's going to be an early exit come March. So, you know, against EKU, I look forward to just be a pretty clean game, pretty, you know, sound. I don't want to use the word tune-up, but that's all I've got right now. Another just tune-up game ahead of a matchup with Maryland, who is a little bit, you know, a little bit better than EKU, we'll say.
Good stuff. And, John, one more question before you go. What is the worst Christmas present that you can give someone that always seems to come from the same person every single year?
Oh, let's see. That's going to require a little bit of thought. Lord have mercy. So there was a segment in my life where I was about, I don't know, I'd say from 17 till about 22, where my parents just had no clue, like, what to get me at all for Christmas. They were less like, well, you're an adult now. You don't, you know, what do you need? So they got in the habit of getting me pajamas for Christmas. And for about 5 or 6 straight years, those pajamas were about 4 or 5 sizes too big. You've met me, Jake. I'm just a tall, slender guy. And these look like they belonged on the Michelin Man. So they were just far, far, far.
Let me stop you right there for a second. Are our parents shopping at the same place and getting the same gift? Because I feel like that is something I get every single year.
That's the go-to parental gift. You know, I'm a parent myself of 3 kids, and, you know, right now it's toys, clothes, you know, the things that they need and some stuff with that, and Santa brings them something, you know, here and there. And I'm thinking about the future. You know, I was thinking about this the other night. I was thinking about when my daughter's grown. You know, what do I do? What do I get her for Christmas? Do I get her perfume? You know, do I get her, like, what do I do? You know, do I just buy for her children one day? Do I just put it off and save it all for them? Or it's a big mess. So I can kind of, I guess, understand our parents a little bit, understand their plight a little on shopping for us. But, I mean, they're our parents. They should know, right? Like how we're built. I mean, those are our parents. They should know what we like and what we do and things like that. Just give me a Tennessee pullover every year. I'm fine with that. Give me an updated UT shirt. Anything works for me, man. But I don't know if maybe both of our parents just hear the way we sound when we speak and just forget that we're the sizes we are.
I mean, it happens that way. And, you know, I'm about to tell you something, and there's probably a reason why my mother doesn't listen to the show. But I think it was last year she was like, well, do you need a jacket? I'm like, not really, but a nice Carhartt would be good. She's like, well, I just got you a Carhartt jacket. I'm like, when did you get me a Carhartt? She's like, that brown Carhartt jacket. I'm like, Mom, you got me that when I was in seventh grade. That was a youth extra large. I'm now a men's extra large. What are we doing?
Oh, my God. Dude, listen, Carhartt, one of the best, though. We're talking about some of the worst Christmas gifts. Carhartt, one of the best. I would listen if I was on the street, man, for whatever reason, had no place to go and I needed one thing, it would be a Carhartt. I have done, you know, all I've ever done is worked outside and worked with my hands and been out in the elements. I'm telling you, there's nothing, they ought to pay me an endorsement for what I'm saying right now, but Carhartt jackets, man, you cannot beat them. You can't beat the coveralls, you can't beat the pants, you can't beat the jackets, you can't beat nothing that Carhartt makes.
And fun fact, I was actually at Academy the other day. They now have Carhartt joggers, like sweatpants. Wow. Yes, yeah, so I'm gonna make the investment.
Mm-hmm. For sure, man. Like I said, you cannot be. If they make, do they make underwear too?
Actually, I think they do.
Well, I guess I'm gonna have to go find me a whole Carhartt wardrobe. I'm just gonna be a walking billboard for Carhartt.
We have went from Heisman talk to basketball talk to talking about draws. John, thank you so much for coming on, man. Tell us where to find your stuff.
Hey, guys, allballcallinshow.com. You can check out any of our articles. Check us out on Facebook. Show's going to be resuming tomorrow. Going to be talking about the Heisman stuff, all that good stuff, the bowl game coming up. All orange to the third power, we're calling it. Just check it out on Facebook. Search it up, All Ball Call and Show, in your search bar. And you can find me on Twitter at JXHNDUNN. I try to reply to everybody I can. But Jake, Davis, guys, I appreciate y'all more than you know. And I look forward to speaking with y'all soon.
Thanks so much, John. We'll talk again soon.
Yes, sir. See you, boys.
John Dunn of the All Ball Call-In Show making his presence felt. One more segment coming up. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Final segment of Overtime, Fan Run Radio. Let me adjust my mic. That way you can actually understand what I'm saying. So we're talking with John Dunn, and one of the last things that we talked about was the worst possible Christmas gift that you can get year in and year out that you always seem to get, or just your worst period. What's yours, Davis? Keep in mind, people are listening.
Yeah. You know, I really haven't even gotten a Christmas list. It just seems like the older you get, the less you like really know what to ask for.
Hey, Nana, Papa, I know y'all listen. Those McDonald's and Taco Bell gift cards, yeah, those are clutch. Keep those coming.
Maybe some Under Armour underwear. It's probably just underwear. It's probably the worst.
Hey, I'm wearing that right now.
Same.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of a bad Christmas gift. I don't know.
I don't really know, man. One Christmas was pretty whack, but.
I mean, now it's like you basically just asked to, I don't know, have like investments, like give me a Roth IRA at this point. I don't know what else to ask for. Just plan for the future.
Send me crypto.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Just invest in something at that point. I don't know. A couple hoodies, maybe.
Yeah, hoodie season. Yeah, I finally.
I'll alternate between like two hoodies. Well, as y'all see.
Yeah, I finally found, you know, it's like harder to find good Tennessee like hoodies. And I finally found my Tennessee hoodie I was telling y'all about. I bought it. There's an old video. It's from 2017 when Butch Jones was tearing our program down. I was wearing it then. It still fits. Very nice. It's like I have to wear it, I guess. I'll wear it to.
Is it that orange one?
Nah, it's gray with a. I'll wear it Friday. I'll show you, but very nice, very warm. Still a great hoodie, and that's about the best Tennessee hoodie that I can find. We don't really have a lot of options in the Vol shop or anything.
I feel like Under Armour probably makes the best hoodies. Mine stay pretty well together, like that Memphis Grizzlies one I wear.
Yeah.
From the combine. I've had that thing for, God, 4 or 5 years now.
I don't know. I don't know. Do you? I don't wear jeans, so I don't really. When I got jeans one year, I was like, what am I going to do with these?
I got jeans. What am I going to do with these jeans?
I don't wear jeans. I don't like
good old blue jeans.
Yeah, I don't wear blue jeans.
I've never seen either of you all in a pair of khakis or a pair of jeans.
No point.
I mean, no.
Or even khaki shorts.
Who am I here to impress?
Well, khaki shorts, I mean, there's no reason to wear them. It's like 40 degrees. I mean, it's 40 degrees outside. I mean, my legs have to stay warm at some point.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta impress Bear, though, man. You got to impress the guy that wears the same Yankees hat that he's had for 18 million years, wears it 8 days a week, always wears the same khaki shorts and some sort of gray T-shirt. Nothing changes. And when it's raining, he wears a green jacket.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I wear khakis.
Gets cold, he might wear a hoodie.
I wear khakis when I go out, but like.
And the same Nike shoes that haven't been tied in about 7 years.
I remember, you know, wearing sweatpants freshman year. Wore those out one time.
There's nothing better than a good pair of joggers.
Yeah.
I guess you could classify these as joggers. I don't know.
Because, like, I hate, like, loose fitting pants.
Yeah. If you have, if they have the cuff on the end that, like, tightens around your, like, ankle and stuff, because like the sweatpants are just like flap out. Those are so like they're pretty out of style.
Yeah, that's like late 90s, early 2000s.
Yep.
Yeah,
I think the rip off sweatpants just rip them off.
Nike has both, where they have joggers and then they just have the regular sweatpants.
Now the regular ones I'll wear around the house.
Yeah.
But when no one's there, it's just you're in on comfort of your home.
Oh, by the way, I have found the perfect holiday outfit for myself. Y'all get to see it before you leave. Don't worry.
Can't wait.
Oh.
As you can tell by the excitement in my voice.
Drip too hard.
Nice. A little baby.
Change my Twitter handle to GI Drip Too Hard. It's like I literally went to the Christmas shop on 2K and found a pair of shorts and a long sleeve t-shirt, and that's what I'm balling out in.
If there's one Christmas gift you could have this year, what would it be?
One Christmas gift. Just one. What you got, Davis?
I'm gonna ask for a new monitor for my Xbox, but that's about it. That's like literally the only thing I can think of right now. I don't know though. Should I ask to go? I don't know. Because if I ask to go to the Grizzlies Warriors game on Christmas Day, that'll basically be my birthday and Christmas combined. So do I?
Oh yeah, because your birthday is like so close to it.
My birthday is the day after Christmas, so like, should I risk flying all the way out of San Francisco? Basically. Not getting any gifts but that, or I could stay home and watch the game and get other gifts.
See, I kind of like going to the game because that's an experience.
Yeah.
And experiences, you only get to do it once or twice, but you have those memories forever. You get something like, obviously a kid gets a toy or whatever.
Yeah.
And that toy is useless in a few months. And you're giving it to somebody else.
That was my birthday gift last year, was getting to go to L.A., and to see the Grizzlies play the Lakers at Staples Center, that famous game where Ja hit his head on the backboard and blocked it. I was there in person. That was probably one of the most memorable gifts I've gotten besides getting an Xbox.
What you got, Matthew?
Just trying to think, man. I don't need a new monitor. I don't really need a new computer. Like, basically, that was just...
That's for Liberty Bowl tickets, man.
I'd probably go to the Orange Bowl. That's probably what I would ask for.
What if I can get you tickets to the Orange Bowl?
And I'll ask for something else.
I don't know. I've thought about this. I don't want to steal from veterans. I'm not a real veteran.
I would feel kind of green, getting these tickets, and I'm not even a veteran.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's like they give each veteran like up to 4, and they can take whoever they want.
I don't know. It still feels kind of slimy.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I would feel slimy if I did that.
No, it's slimy when someone gets the tickets and then they sell them to somebody that's not a veteran when they didn't pay for the tickets. That's when it's slimy. Wow. That gets you banned from the website.
I don't know though. I mean, I guess they're just trying to find a loophole to it, but I guess it is morally wrong.
Mine would probably be the Orange Bowl. To go to the Orange Bowl and spend New Year's Eve down in Miami. That'd be pretty
fun.
That'd be a great time down there.
That'd be fun. I don't know. The older you get, the more household items you need.
Yeah. Yeah. I asked my mom for an air fryer. That's about it that I asked.
And it's probably going to be the best investment that she ever makes, and it's going to provide you with more use than anything you're ever going to use.
Yeah.
I use mine at least 3 to 4 times a week.
You clean it?
No, I'll season that thing.
So it's just, like, crusty as hell in there?
No.
Now, how do you clean it? How do you clean it? You don't clean
like,
it?
Obviously, I'm not leaving, like, crumbs and stuff in it or
yeah.
anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, like, throwing it in the dishwasher or anything. I'm just wiping it down.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think you can put that in the dishwasher.
Oh, no. You can, and it doesn't bode well for it, as someone found out who did not know how to properly rinse the thing. But you know what I need?
What do you need?
I need an iron and an ironing board.
It's odd.
Oh, I bought an ironing board on Amazon for like $10.
Well, if you're in my family and you're listening, guess what? You can get off cheap. And if you're not going to buy me that, just buy me some crypto.
Why don't you just get your girl to iron your stuff?
Well, Davis, there's a weird thing about that. Like, I'm the only one that knows how to do that sort of stuff.
Hmm. Yeah, because if I had a girlfriend, man, she'd be doing all that, plus laundry.
No, she does the laundry. She does the laundry.
Plus folding.
You ever buy her a watch, Davis?
Plus cleaning.
No.
Buy who a watch?
Why would you? Jake, tell me.
Oh, man. That was a Charles Barkley joke.
Yep.
We stole it from him.
And we don't want to get canceled.
He said it first.
Just look up Charles Barkley's joke about a sprained ankle.
Clock on a stove.
the sprained ankle one is...
Oh, he said women are milking the baby thing.
Yep.
And it can't be any worse than playing a basketball game with a sprained ankle. And Chris Webber's over there dying laughing.
Chris Webber, I think, fell out of his seat on that one.
No. Yeah. Which one's his best moment of all time? The Phoenix Suns nachos one gets me every time. Like, I've listened to that thing 100 times.
It has to be the San Antonio Spurs and the...
that one's good.
And,
it's churros.
Yeah.
No, have y'all ever heard the one about the bats?
Yes. You know, they got that river down there, Charles. Oh, that's not a river. That's a creek.
Oh, another one was... which one was it? Jamal the cashier. Well, first of all, Jamal, you a cashier. So shut the hell up.
Got to have a job around here.
Yeah, man.
A dude can't be a cashier, man.
And it's quick, Charles Barkley. A dude cannot be a cashier. Charles Barkley has some great moments. He said that guy up in Boston that he's killing it, Jason Taylor.
Mm.
Jason Taylor, killing it in Boston. Quote by Charles Barkley.
Well, and then there was the Jesse Smollett thing.
Yeah, don't commit crimes with checks.
We're not going to repeat what he initially said.
Oh, yeah.
We can't do that. Said, don't commit crimes with check. If you're going to break the law, do not write a check. He did not know how much money you could withdraw from an ATM at one time during that either. And then, of course, there was the whole, who was it? Markelle Fultz had finally come into his rhythm. And then someone tweeted at him, and they were like, why are we treating this guy like Rudy when he was a first-round pick? And he was like, well, let me say something to this idiot on Twitter. We're excited to see him do well. Now, you just sit at home in your grandma's basement with your drawers on, typing on your damn keyboard.
What is he eating?
Cookie crumbs.
No, he's eating chicken pot pies.
With his cookie crumbs.
Government cheese.
And who he play for? Watch those.
Oh, those are great. And apparently Shark Week has been labeled racist. We're not even going to get into that.
What?
What?
Yeah.
Sure.
Hit the music. I want to go home. I'm hungry. That's going to do it for us before we get canceled. Thank you, Davis.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
Something else coming up next here on WKGN. Tune in tomorrow for 3 and Out right here on Fan Run Radio.